Japan's devastating surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, launched the United States into full-blown total war with Japan, Germany, and Italy. Our civilian economy was transformed from civilian to wartime production, it seemed, overnight. Tens of thousands of young men enlisted or were drafted into uniform to fight the war. This left millions of jobs unfilled, and women came to factories all across industry to make guns, planes, ships, trucks, ammunition, and every other conceivable product to win the war. Nearly 19 million women were in America's wartime workforce, 3 million of them for their first time away from home responsibilities. Norman Rockwell's Saturday Evening Post cover featuring Rosie the Riveter was plastered all over the country, honoring women in America's fight.
On the street, in the home, in a crowd or alone, shout wherever you may be. I am an American. I'm proud of my liberty.
And we needed pilots for combat, tens of thousands of them. All of those would be young men, so female pilots jumped in to fill that void. In September 1942, two women's pilot organizations formed separately, the WFTD, Women's Flying Training Detachment, and the WAFS, Women's Auxiliary Ferrying Squadron. Well, in August 1943, those two were merged to create the WASP organization, Women's Air Force Service Pilots. General Hap Arnold, Chief of the Air Corps, selected the great female aviator Jackie Cochran to head up the WASPs. 25,000 women applied, 1,074 were accepted. All of them had prior flying experience and pilot's licenses. WASPs flew over 60 million air miles in every type of military aircraft. Our country is in their debt, and today we honor these great patriot aviators.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to 2020-21 slash Warbirds in Review. We have, can I have our three guests here come on out? Four, actually, five. I'm counting. They just keep showing up. Have a seat there, Lisa. We have Lisa here.
Gordon. Go ahead. I'll sit.
Y'all over there. Over here. Over here. There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. The two airplanes here represent what they trained in at Avenger Field. This airplane is owned by the association here, and Lisa's going to tell us about it in just a few minutes. They fly the airplane. The pilot here is over here. We'll talk about the airplane a little later. And this, you're going to talk about this airplane also, right?
I've got a little time, I guess.
Okay. If you could make up something, it'll make you different. We're really fortunate in here that John here, John Marsh, his mother flew as one of the WASPs, and he's going to tell us the story about his mother's life and how she was recruited and all the way through the end of the WASP and maybe get into this. And what I'd like for you to do, Lisa, is you are the president of the museum, correct? Give us the history. Of course, we had part of it. David told us a little bit, but you give us the history from your standpoint about the WASP, okay?
All right, so I am Lisa Taylor, and I'm the director of the National WASP World War II Museum. We're located in Sweetwater on Avenger Field, where the WASP learned to fly the military way. So our mission is not only to preserve their legacy, but to preserve the legacy of that field as well. So it's really our honor to do that. We're so happy to be here today. So I am going to give you some history on the museum, and John will be talking about his mother. We have Olga Custodio with us today. She's going to be speaking as a legacy pilot. And then Malcolm Lang, who flew in our UC-78 today. So thank you so much. You know, one of the questions that I am most often asked in the museum is, what kind of women were flying in 1942? You know, who were they? Were they all rich? You know, who were they? And in truth, they came from all walks of life. Some were born into a lot, and some scraped together every penny they had to learn how to fly. But I wanted to start off by telling you about a WASP that you may really be familiar with, and that's Cornelia Fort. She was born into high society, and her father had big plans for her within that high society. She had lived in a large home. She had several siblings, and they were taken to private lessons and, you know, everything she wanted. When she was 19, her father threw a big party, coming out party for her, and it was all settled. But something happened that changed the trajectory of her life. She went up in an airplane. And she was captivated by that experience. Her father also died that year, and she decided to go a different way, much to her mother's dismay. And she became, I believe, the first female instructor pilot in Tennessee. And she went on to become an instructor pilot in Hawaii. Not a bad deal. This was in 1941. She wrote a letter to her mother saying, "I have the best pay. I have the best airplanes I could ever hope to fly. I'm in a beautiful place. I'll never leave here unless a better opportunity comes along." And that opportunity would come along sooner than later. She was up in the air with a young student, a male student, on December 7th, 1941. And, you know, he was going along flying. It was his last lesson before he would solo. They were flying across the air, and all of a sudden she realizes they're going to collide with another airplane. She takes the controls, and she diverts that head-on collision. And she turns around to see who on earth was coming at her, and she sees the Japanese red symbol on the side of that plane. And she had just inadvertently witnessed, of course, the attack on Pearl Harbor and the U.S. entry into World War II. She would go on to become a WAF, one of the most experienced pilots in the Nancy Harkness Love. Actually, to back up a little bit, Nancy Harkness Love and Jackie Cochran both had plans on how to get women involved in flying during the war. And so Nancy's plan was to start a fairing division, and it took her some time, many letters, but that did come to fruition. And Cornelia, I believe, was the second or third woman that she recruited. Cornelia would go on to die very tragically. She was the first WASP to die in a sad accident very near our facilities in Sweetwater. And when she died, Nancy took it very hard. And she wrote a letter to her mother and said, I loved Cornelia. I liked Cornelia. And the only comfort I can find is that she died doing exactly what she wanted, defending her country. And I think that's where a lot of these ladies were. America was pulling together in significant ways from Victory Gardens. We were all doing our part. And there was this group of women who were discovering they could fly, and they were good at it, and that's the way they wanted to help. And so thanks to the leadership of Nancy Love and Jackie Cochran, it came to fruition. We were behind in that war effort. We didn't have enough pilots. William Tunner, who had been put over the fairing division, was desperate, and he didn't have enough male pilots to take the planes where they needed to go, and that's when he discovered that Nancy Love was sitting there underneath his own nose, and able to fly. And then later, Jackie Cochran, working with Hap Arnold, formed the Wasp. And that was a much, she took the inexperienced pilots who had far less time and started to train them for bigger missions. Not bigger missions, more missions. So they ferried airplanes, and they did. They helped tow gunnery targets, you know, strafing, smoke laying, those kinds of things. So, but before they did that, they had to learn how to fly the military way, and that was where they spent their time in Sweetwater. The program started in Houston. It was not suitable airspace. It was crowded. It was often the weather was bad, so they moved them to Sweetwater. And it was perfect because it was already an airfield, a training base. And they transferred the men out. They brought the women in. And it became the first all-through military training base. So they would have started primary with the steerman. And then they would have worked their way up to this advanced trainer, the UC-78 Bobcat, before leaving. They spent half their day in flight school, right, learning navigation, math, science. They spent the other half flying, which is really what they wanted to do, of course. And of course, calisthenics. It took some muscle to fly these airplanes. And then from there on, when they would graduate 6 to 7 months later, depending on the weather. And from that point on, they were sent to bases all over the country. And you know, their part was they relieved men to go fly in combat. And then, you know, from there, they could fly any plane that the Army Air Corps threw at them. And they did. From the fastest pursuit planes to the heaviest bombers, they flew those.